This episode has been sponsored in part by our friends at Veeam. Are you tired of juggling the cost of AWS backups and recovery with your SLAs? Quit the circus act and check out Veeam. Their AWS backup and recovery solution is made to save you money, not that that's the primary goal, mind you, while also protecting your data properly. They're letting you protect 10 instances for free with no time limits, so test it out now. You can even find them on the AWS marketplace at snark.cloud/backitup. Wait, did I just endorse something on the AWS marketplace? Wonder of wonders, I did. Look, you don't care about backups, you care about restores. And despite the fact that multi-cloud's a dumb strategy, it's also a realistic reality. So make sure that you're backing up data from everywhere with a single unified point of view. Check them out at snark.cloud/backitup.
Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. What a year 2020 turned out to be, sort of across the board. So, last week, AWS didn't really release anything. In fact, the only thing that they released that I noticed was basically a war crime, specifically that QuickSight is now available in Canada and Sao Paulo. Yeah. So, instead, this is now going to be a bit of a survey of the things that I saw over the year that I liked, that you liked, the most notable things that we want to carry forward. So let's begin. And one of the most notable things that across the board is going to be transformative when we see people starting to do exciting things was S3 now becoming strongly consistent with a read after write model. That is going to be phenomenal for a variety of use cases, mostly that look like data lakes, but also misusing it as a database. Keep an eye on what happens coming out there. One of the most popular posts that I linked to in the newsletter was back in June, called The 3 F's of Cloud Pricing. The first one being the free tier, the second one being the FU tier, and the third one being the F off tier. And I'll have a link to that in the newsletter that goes out at the same time as this episode does. But it goes from the first taste is free to, oh, it's going to absolutely be awful and you're going to just have to deal with it and suck it up. And then eventually it turns into a, if you want to migrate away from AWS at a significant tens of millions scale, it's really going to hurt. I don't know that I necessarily agree with all of it, but I liked it. Another big release that came out of AWS came out very quietly. Like they were trying to hide it on storage day. I know, I'm talking about S3 a lot, but the S3 storage lens is awesome. It provides organization-wide visibility into object storage, which is basically the most underwhelming description possible of what this thing does. Turn it on, it looks at your S3 buckets and tells you things like, huh, access patterns on this one are costing you a lot of money. Consider doing something about it. Every time I tried to find something to crap on it for, it got better. And it fixed every problem I could imagine. And that was awesome. Surprisingly, one of the articles I linked to was on GitHub, which is not normally what one thinks of when one thinks of GitHub. But it was a record of how the United Kingdom's government reached their cloud architecture decisions and why they did it. Massively popular article, well worth looking into. The most popular article of the entire year, to this one I did not see coming, was someone's teardown on how they fixed AWS's architecture diagrams, specifically for their video on demand service. That got massive click traffic, and that's kind of awesome. Now, on a personal, selfish level, the article that I wrote that got the most traffic was admittedly trollish, but it was titled, Why Zoom Chose Oracle, and Maybe You Should Too. It was the most viewed post the entire year long, followed closely by the one that I put out a month ago, the Google disease afflicting AWS. Now, those were fun and all, but the thing that I wrote this year that I liked the most, that I thought was the most useful bit of writing, was my continuing support of the idea that multi-cloud is and remains the worst practice.
This episode is sponsored in part by Chaos Search. Now their name isn't in all caps, so they're definitely worth talking to. What is Chaos Search? A scalable log analysis service that lets you add new workloads in minutes, not days or weeks. Click, boom, done. Chaos Search is for you if you're trying to get a handle on processing multiple terabytes or more of log and event data per day at a disruptive price. One more thing for those of you who've been down this path of disappointment before, Chaos Search is a fully managed solution that isn't playing marketing games when they say fully managed. The data lives within your S3 buckets, and that's really all you have to care about. No managing of servers, but also no data movement. Check them out at chaossearch.io and tell them Corey sent you. Watch for the wince when you say my name. That's chaossearch.io.
Another AWS release that I thought was awesome. And once again, it seems we're going right back to storage, but at least it's not S3 this time, was the GP3 announcement. Switching from GP2 over to GP3 is a win across the board. It knocks 20% off your storage bill. Go ahead and do it. Another big release that went out that I couldn't basically make enough fun of was Honeycode, their long-rumored no-code solution over the summer, because AWS made such a hoopla out of it, but everyone I've spoken to, be it other developer types, be it other analyst types, we're all aligned on this, that after trying it in its current state, it's complete crap. It's got to be so much better than it is, but I don't know. I have a hard time seeing AWS delivering on this. And of course, my personal favorite article, and it was not aligned with the rest of this, and I know, that's okay. It was in ESPN over the summer about how the Seattle NHL team became known as the Kraken. Now, great, okay, why the hell would I care about a random article on ESPN talking about naming a hockey team? Well, because one of the owners is Andy Jassy, the CEO of AWS. And in this article, it talks about how meticulous he was about naming and how the process worked out well and just the ways that they kept it secret, the sheer amount of effort they put in before it. And this thing hit the shelves less than 6 months before he got on stage and deadass introduced Amazon Lookout for Equipment. And that's my summary for what happened of note last year in the world of AWS. There are a lot of things that I didn't touch on, and that's okay. But those are the things that resonated with me. Everyone is doing their own roundups, and it seemed like that was the direction for me to go in this year. Thanks for listening. We'll have more releases for you next week. This is the AWS Morning Brief. I'm Cloud Economist Corey Quinn, and you are a wonderful audience.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.